The audio content you're about to listen to is created by Submissive Shy Goth. All rights reserved. Enjoy. And tonight's story, my lord, is about a princess and her owner. It will be a familiar story to you. After all, it's about us, Master. Every morning, I wake up to the sound of my leash. When I stretch my limbs, the chain rattles. Then I see, well, you, Master. Always you, my lord. If you're asleep, I watch your barrel chest rise and fall. If you're already awake, then my first sight is just you, staring at me, watching over me. Once, that frightened me. Now, it comforts me. We share a quick kiss, a hushed, I love you. Then you bring a goblet of sweet wine to my lips. The moment I taste it, everything turns to fog. Then time passes without a thought. Eventually, I'm taken to lavish baths filled with scented waters where servants scrub me from head to toe, just for you, my lord. My head buzzes happily while my body lays limp in their hands. They treat me with oils meant to keep me pretty and perfumes so I smell exactly the way you desire. Afterwards, they go over my tattoos with brushes, enhancing them with body paint and treating them so they last forever. Then there's a special oil applied down there, which leaves a hot sensation in its wake that makes me squirm for hours. Once dry, your golden chain is once more tightened around my neck, returning to me. Relieving to have its weight back. The bath is the only moment I'm not leashed for you. A new set of polished piercings replace the previous day's adornments. Another servant brings the day's outfit, clothes that you picked the night before, my lord. It's usually a collection of colorful, translucent silks, sourced from all over the world. Then, the final step of my morning ritual. My royal tiara is placed upon my brow. The same tiara I wore in my girlhood. The first thing I ever learned about myself was that I was a princess. The fourth daughter of six. The seventh child of 10. That meant I wasn't the heir, not even the eldest daughter. And though they told me I was pretty, Esmalda, my elder sister, was considered even prettier. She was the realm's delight, father's favorite. In the stories, being a princess makes you special. To me, it meant having a million eyes on me and the love of none. Someday, I would be married off to some high noble, some lesser prince for my lineage alone. That's the fate of a princess. I rebelled in every way I could. As a child, I would escape to the library and the stories within. Then, as a woman, I flowered. I resolved to make my own stories. Every other night, I'd flee the castle on some adventure. Maybe I'd spend a night incognito in some tavern, listening to tales from the fisher folk, testing my prowess as a storyteller against bards and tall talkers, or finding a man to sate certain lusts within. When my transgressions were discovered, my standing fell even further, and the stories princesses aren't wanton sluts. How could I explain to my father why I did it? In bed with a man, I was the center of his attention, if even only for the night. I was the sole focus of his desires. Remember the first time I told you of my escapades, Master? You praised my ingenuity for my escapes, and then had me scrubbed inside and out, so I wasn't tainted by any trace of another man. I prided myself on being a free spirit, a rebel. I imagined that I would escape a lifetime as some lord's possession. But my story went another way. Captivity came for me in steel, a barbarian horde. Your armies swept down the mountainside, scattering my father's soldiers. The court swirled with gossip. Who was this fearsome scourge? What fate awaited a lady who fell into your hands? No one could stop you, my lord. You swarmed the capital by surprise. There was hardly any warning at all. My father, my sisters, they were the first to escape. But I, of course, had spent the night in a stranger's bed and couldn't be located. When I finally got to a carriage, it was too late. And I was taken by you, shaken but unharmed. There I found you sitting in my father's chair, perched on my father's balcony, surveying my father's city. The first time you looked at me, I feared you'd push me over the railing for all to see me splat. Instead, you asked me to tell you about my father. What sort of man was he? And I didn't know what to say, how to explain it to you. So, I told you a story, a memory from my childhood. When I finished, you asked me to tell you another, and then another. All while cries of celebration and anguish rang from the conquered city below. The longer I spoke, the more your eyes softened, still focused squarely on me, but no longer dangerous. Then, in a soft voice, you whispered a simple phrase. You're too pretty to be free. Too pretty to be free. I know that isn't the only reason you kept me. There are practical considerations. You have power, but not legitimacy. My father's former subjects need to accept you. And to that end, I'm a fabulous trophy. They see me at the end of your leash, wearing my tiara. And the story spreads far and wide. Everyone knows you own a princess. That's why no one questions my constant presence. To them, I'm your crown jewel. Maybe even to you, my lord. And in a way, they're right. Once I'm dressed, I'm led to court. There I find you issuing commands from my father's former throne. There are rings on your armrest to chain my leash, and a luxurious pillow for me to recline on. There I wait, my silent submission on display for hours. This is the tedious part of my day. If only you didn't have to work. You've told me how badly you wish you could spend every day alone with me. Still, even while you're meeting advisors and granting audiences, I never feel ignored. I love the way you idly reach down and pet my hair, and how you bring me to your lap for kisses between visitors. I rarely listen to a word. Why bother? A slave doesn't have opinions, none that matter anyway. Sometimes I'll spend whole hours just thinking of little ways to steal your attention without being punished. The right cute little sound or pretty pose to draw your eye. Every time you glance at me, smile at me, that's my victory. Mostly, though, I use the time to think. I get lost in my own little world, imagining faraway places that I once read about or visited, or stories that I myself craft. Often, these thoughts stray. Naughty places. The constant burning throb between my legs makes it an inescapable inevitability. At first, I was too timid to touch myself in front of everyone. They already thought of me as a slut, but I couldn't. I couldn't. You kept encouraging me to express my desires. Even there, in the throne room, and slowly it got easier. I can't help myself. I'm always so horny, so eager to please. It's like you've stolen my self-control. One hand clutching my leash for support, the other beneath my silks, teasing my pussy. I never go fast. I want to draw it all out. So my moans please you. Sometimes I get to do it sitting in your lap. You're so much bigger than me. Stronger than me. It makes me feel so helpless. I just can't stop myself, Master. I'm not the only one who gets worked up by our constant proximity. Your people have looser social mores. My father's former subjects always gawk when they walk into the throne room and see my head bobbing up and down on your thick, swollen cock. Master, your taste. You make me do it when you want some relief, or when a former noble walks in. You like to taunt them by making me do such lewd things. There's a new order in your kingdom, and it's one where the royal princess chokes on your cock. just like this. Although sometimes you need me calmer, more docile. Then you give me sweet wine and steal my mind. Those moments pass away in a fog, drunk and fuzzy. No thoughts, no awareness of my surroundings. Pretty and empty for you. I clutch at your leg and cuddle it. It's warm and safe. Master's leg. The hours pass away. Just holding you. Before dinner, a servant takes me away to exercise. I have to work hard, shaping my body into a pleasurable state. The servants are all girls my own age, but I don't know their names. They aren't allowed to speak to me, and I'm not allowed to speak to them, or really anyone but you. This voice belongs to you alone. You've taunted me that if I was caught speaking to someone else, you'd give me a tongue piercing so thick I couldn't speak at all. I know I should fear you. I've seen the violence you're capable of. You'd kill me if I ever tried to escape, wouldn't you? But I don't fear you. I know that you'd never harm me, not unless I'd done something bad, and for you, I'm never bad. While I flouted every rule my father gave me, I obey yours without the slightest thought of defiance. Utterly submissive. I could never escape you. What would my life be without the constant, reassuring jingle of my leash, without the feeling of your breath dusting my skin? Life without you would be punishment beyond what you could inflict. Because I love you, Master. I love you in a way that only a possession can. That's what I am, right? I'm not a person, I'm a jewel, a canvas, a crown, a depraved, wet fuck toy. But that's okay. So long as I'm the favorite thing you own, and I never doubt that. I'm the sparkle in your eye. You could have had an entire harem at your beck and call. You could have even had my sister Esmalda. You captured her soon after me. But you've never even considered replacing me. The thoughts never even entered your mind, much less you've entertained it. We live for the moments we can be alone together. When the work is done and you can seclude yourself in your chambers, just the two of us. You often want to brainstorm how to personalize me to your tastes, your own perfect princess, inspecting my body to decide what tattoo you should give next, or what outfit you want to see draped over my body. You're always so excited about your latest project, imagining how I'll look once you've changed me. But the thing you want most often, sometime consuming hours and hours of our evenings, is story time, just like tonight. As your slave, I own nothing. I am that which is owned. I control nothing, not my body, not my voice, my desires, not even whether or not I can think. But there is one thing that is mine. One thing you allow absolute mastery over. And that's my stories. We lay together on cushions, my chest pressed against yours, and I perform tale after tale for you. I pick the subject, I shape the words, and I decide the ending. Some of my stories are true, memories from childhood, histories of a kingdom that you brought to heal, of a world you ended, or tales from bards and bars. Are there stories from books of my youth, crafted by the pen of old masters and recited in my voice? Some imagine the future, some recount the past, and some simply describe the present. I take such delight in twisting the flow of events, making the survival of the hero ambiguous or the death of a friend so bittersweet. All those hours thinking are spent shaping my stories so that they're perfect. I challenge myself to come up with ever more rapturous tales or remember events that would excite your curiosity. Then I challenge myself still further to bare myself to you, to infuse my stories with a part of my soul, and then offer them to you, as if on a silver platter. And you, my master, my perfect audience, always listening to me with your eyes that sparkle with interest, ever eager to hear more. Cheering at the moments of triumph and tensing in the moments of uncertainty, you give me the silence to speak, interrupted only by the soft jingle of my leash and occasionally your laughter at my tales. Were someone to interrupt me, I fear you'd gut them on the spot and make me continue my story over their corpse. My words are just that pretty to you. My voice that special. Most of my stories are chaste, but some are more sensual, even erotic. I like to save those stories for last. Hearing such things enunciated by my tongue makes you so eager to proceed to the final portion of our evenings. The pleasures you take from my yielding flesh, and the pleasures you give back. The same things you're going to do to me once this story ends. Maybe you'll tie me to the bed and then descend your head between my legs, feasting on my pussy like it's the finest of delicacies, making me utterly breathless before you finally push me over and stain your lips with my nectars. Or maybe you'll make me drink an entire bottle of sweet wine, leave me a giggling, drooling mess, and then have your way with my half-limp body. Isn't that so cruel? You can have me whenever you want. You don't need to make me drunk. But it's about the power of taking away my own awareness. It can be simple. Sitting in front of the fireplace, your sketchpad in one hand while the other rests on the back of my head, guiding me as I lick at your cock. Day, I was thinking about when you bound me up, gagged me so I couldn't speak, and made me ride your magnificent cock. You were sitting so confidently in your chair while I was bouncing and rolling my hips. What little movement I could manage was all in service of making you come. I must have sounded something like this. Master, my master, and in the ending, when I've done my duties, when I've been a good slave, you come inside me, always inside. You fill me until it leaks from my body. You leave my womb pulsing with your warmth. That's why you make me drink a contraceptive potion each night before bed. You have dominion over my body. You don't want to shape it with your child. At least not yet. But I'm sure that day will come. And when the time comes for you to have an heir, he will be born of my body. All you'd have to do is stop giving me the potion and continue filling my womb. It is only by your will that I'm not already big with child. Because my body is perfectly designed to bring your sons into this world. Run your hand over my belly, right here. That part I understood even before I was a slave. A princess's duty is to continue the royal line. I was always a breeding vessel. Why would I be anything different now? Away from the din of court, the fog of the sweet wine, and the thrill of your touch, maybe I'd have the chance to think, really think, not about my stories, but about the life I live. Would I wonder what you did to my father? Would I question if I should aspire to more? But you don't let me linger with those thoughts, do you? Even when we're in bed together, every moment before I drift off is yours. We lay together and you just appreciate me. You kiss my belly and my thighs. Oh, and the nape of my neck. Worshipping me. Completely obsessed with me. And the things you moan against my skin. You tell me I'm the most beautiful creature in the world. how much you love my taste, the sound of my voice, the glow of my skin. You remind me that all of me is for you. You are the sun in my sky, the purpose of my life, even my thoughts, my feelings, my stories, they're for you. And there's one phrase you tell me over and over again. I'm too pretty to be free. I'm too pretty to be free. Master, a final riddle before you have your way with me. There are two girls brought before a crowd. Both are mute. They are dressed the same. Were born with all the same features. There is but one difference. One was the daughter of a king, and one was not. How would the good folk know which was a princess? You don't know, Master? And surely you figured it out. The princess is whichever one of them the crowd decides must have been a princess. The first thing anyone ever told me was that I was a princess. When I was a person, that fact twisted and shaped my life. Every relationship, every conversation, every hope, and every dream. No, I'm not a person anymore. This is my story, and it's the story of possession. A slave. But it's also still the story of a princess. Your princess. Hey, if you made it this far in the audio, leave me a comment and let me know what you liked. It really, really helps.